Welcome back to the BCC Pod. My name is Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we're so glad that you've joined us back on BCC Recap. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Wherever you're tuning in today, we're so glad that you're here. And this week, we're coming to you live from Andrew's prayer room.
My personal prayer room that I own.
If you weren't in first service this past Sunday, Andrew finished his benediction and saying, if you need prayer, my prayer room is open. And said, oh. It was the worst time for me to be on drums, too.
Yeah, I mean, when it did ba-doom, boom, ching, when I was like, that's not what I mean. I don't own this.
We're going to, yeah, we should put up a plaque.
Yeah.
Andrew's prayer room. But we were talking about, we're back week four, mm-hmm. Grace. Mm-hmm. And you were talking a bit about the limits of grace and some of the stuff like that and more that there aren't any.
Yeah.
but do you want to talk a bit about your main point and your challenge for this past week?
Sure. So last week we took a look at the parable of the unforgiving servant. And really kind of my main point was that we need to live by grace, not by scorekeeping, not by like ledger following and not by like rule keeping, that we live by grace and that we are welcomed into the kingdom by grace. And since we've been given such an amazing amount of grace, we need to give that grace with other people. And that was kind of my challenge, is just to give people to let go of unforgiveness and bitterness that they harbor. And we invited people to write down some of their unforgiveness on some sheets and then to rip them up and to kind of leave them there as a way of practicing embodied forgiveness.
Yeah. It was funny to watch people get those sheets on the way in.
Oh, yeah.
I remember as I was walking in, I grabbed one for Beck because she missed it on the way in. And I handed it to her and she looked at it and she looked at me. She's like, what? I was like, just, it's going to be okay. I had the same reaction.
I know. Some people are like, what are we possibly doing with this? I have one person who thought that we were going to write down all of our sins, like our personal ones.
Yeah.
So they took a few extra sheets they shared with me. So they, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which I thought was fun.
Well, I remember when Laura showed me the concept design, I was like, I trust you guys. You know what you're doing. The best would be somebody was like, are we going to write these down and then submit them? It's like, yeah. yes, all your sins have to be submitted.
Yeah. We will be reviewing each of them and booking meetings as appropriate.
Before we keep going today, we want to let you know about Bethany Basketball. If you're looking to get your kids from grades 1 to 6 involved at the church and involved in a new program, check out Bethany Basketball starting November 5th. This offers a high quality, non-competitive sports environment to encourage young athletes of all abilities to discover new skills and have fun in an encouraging and faith-based way. You definitely don't want to miss out on this, so check out the details of the pod for cost, scholarships, dates, and all of that stuff. All right.
Okay.
So we have some questions for you.
Good.
The first one is spell splagnesomai.
Splagnesomai. Yeah. It actually comes from the word splankthon. I'd have a better time spelling that. S-P-A-splang. I don't know. I got. That's as far as I get.
The craziest part, the G is the wild part because it's S-P-L-A-G-C-H-N-I-Z-O-M-I-A.
Yeah. It is.
I also had to write it out phonetically, so I didn't mispronounce it.
It is a word, that's for sure.
But do you want to talk a little bit about that word specifically and kind of what you were talking about?
So what I was talking about with that was how when the man sees the debt of the other person, it says in the text that he felt pity. A better translation would be compassion, but an even better one would be like he was hit in the gut. Mm. And that's really what that word means in Greek. It's like a gut punch. It's like you're so moved. It literally means to be moved in your bowels, which is a weird way to put it, but that's what the word actually means.
Yeah.
And it's about then seeing somebody and being so moved in your spirit that you have to be moved to action. Mm. And I just think that's important, that sometimes in today's day and age, we see lots of things and lots of horrific and terrible things in the world and on the news, but rarely we actually move to action. But in this, the king is moved towards action right away. And the pity is accompanied with responsibility, which often we can just feel bad for someone without feeling any sense of responsibility towards them or to help them or to do good for them. But the king chooses to really be moved by his feelings and then to respond to them. So,
yeah, I think it was cool to hear about that, especially in light of what we've been talking about here through the series. Just we've touched on the idea of grace moving us into action quite a bit on the pod. Right. So then for that to be kind of expanded on too in this way was really cool to watch. On that kind of note of action and grace moving us into action, you also talked about the idea of like co-suffering grace.
Yeah.
How should the idea of co-suffering grace shape our understanding of God's presence within our pain and suffering?
So I think the way it should shape our idea of God's presence is that God doesn't always erase all of our pain, but he always does join with us in our pain. And I think that's really clear through scripture, that God joins with us when we're in periods and spaces of difficulty. And we think through even the word compassion, what it literally means is co-passion. And passion in that sense means like suffering. All right. That's where we get like the passion of the Christ is really about the suffering of Jesus. And so what we see in the Gospels is that Jesus comes and joins with us really, and that he is invited in as like incarnationally, that he comes and joins with us. And so I think that's what we see, is that God joins with us in our pain, and he actually suffers alongside with us. He suffers with us. He even suffers for us with Jesus, and that he is not absent from our pain, that actually all of it takes place and God feels that alongside of us. And I think we see this in the book of Job, where Job is crying out to God and God comes alongside and he does challenge him. But he really wants to have a debate with Job and to meet him in that. And he says that he is the righteous one. And so, yeah, this idea of God joining with us in pain is also seen in John like 16 and 17, where the Holy Spirit is promised in and through Jesus to come with us in our grief, in our suffering, that even as he leaves, that the Holy Spirit will come and be our paraclete, which means our advocate, our one who comes alongside us, one who actually stands up for us. And so I just think this idea that God joins with us in pain is an important one, because it means that we're never really alone then in it. And I think sometimes that's what pain can do. It can really, really isolate you. But that pain never isolates us from the God who loves us and chases after us and wants to be with us.
I think that's so meaningful. I think, well, side note, I think it's hilarious that the Holy Spirit is depicted often as a bird, and that a name for it is paraclete. But I think that that concept is so important and so beautiful. I think too of just like a lot of the experiences of Jesus when he was on earth that we read in the Gospels, and this idea of like him not skipping that process either. And like that not only like do we see like with Lazarus, right? Like even while knowing Lazarus is going to be alive, still grieving, right? And weeping. And how impactful that would have been for the people who were also weeping there too. And this idea of like not only does it show that, but it also I think deepens our understanding of co-suffering grace and co-suffering love, that like it's not just that God is with you in that, but it's also there's an understanding there, right? There's a knowing there that I think is really deep.
That Jesus doesn't move away from our pain or our experiences, but really joins with us in it. It's just, I think it's really important. Even that idea of Lazarus, he knew he was going to raise him, but yet he still weeps with Mary. And we're called to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn, and to really be moved. And one of the things that in the Gospels it often says is that Jesus was moved by pity, and that's that same word that we were just talking about, and that he gets like the gut punch and he responds to it. And one of the stories is where he is moved by pity when he sees all the people who don't have food and they're all there. And so that's when he produces food and he joins with them in where they're at. So I just think it's a really important idea that we don't ever think of ourselves that we are isolated from God, especially in our hurt or our pain, but he joins with us in that.
I think too, it's cool that like co-suffering grace also, just like reaffirms the idea that grace isn't circumstantial, right? And the idea that God is kind of in there in the trenches with you, that like, no matter what those circumstances look like, that doesn't change anything about the nature of God's grace in your life. Right.
And that's not based, because then grace would just become like happiness.
Right.
If it was just based on our circumstances.
Just good vibes.
Just good vibes. And I mean, good vibes are great if you're having them. But if you're not, there's not a lot of hope in that.
Right.
The hope is that, well, no, with God's grace is that he's still with you and he's still for you and still is going to work, as it says in Romans, all those things towards your good, even the things that aren't good in our lives.
Yeah. The next question we have, again, on co-suffering grace, says, how can co-suffering grace challenge a culture that tends to view strength, success, or self-sufficiency as the highest good?
Yeah. Oh, I think it does challenge that very, very much. This is like where Paul says, I only boast in my weakness. We love to boast in our strengths and the things that we're really great at, that we excel at. These are the things we put on our like Instagram profiles or our LinkedIn things to show how cool we are and how successful we are. And I think the idea of co-suffering and grace really runs counter to that. That it's not about us and how great we are. It's actually about Jesus and what he has done for us and how he enters into our lives and our pain and how we're called to do the same with other people. And that really, I think this is what joins us all together, is that we all are in some way, shape or form have been broken and have pain that we share with one another. And I just think that's something that is deeply human that we can all relate to. Not all of us can relate to having our lives go better and better and better and great and great and great. And that's the kind of stuff I think we see in our culture where it says you're an individual and you can just grind it out and just post all your amazing things that you're doing all the time, where grace is so much more. If I can put it this way, grace is humble.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah. I think, like you were saying, there's, this idea of like our culture also really has a hard time with pain and really has a hard time sitting with discomfort and with, struggle. And like, so much so that we often tend to stigmatize struggle. Right. And you're like, we see it in church often too. Right. This just like innate, thing of like, we have to be okay. Right. It's, it's not good to struggle, all those sorts of things. So I think just to the kind of radical idea of God in general, but then God in the grace that he has for us in those moments is like just saying like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's okay to be in that place. And, yeah, similar to what we were just talking about, that God is with you in that space just communicates that further as well. Right. This like, it's okay to struggle and I'm with you for the long haul kind of thing is probably the best way to explain it.
There's a verse in Psalms we're going to look at in 2 weeks where it talks about, not 2 weeks, maybe three, where it talks about us pouring our hearts out to God and actually being able to do that, like that we can go to him with our most raw and radical kind of hurt, pain, shame, brokenness, whatever we might be carrying, and we can give that over to him, and that it's a safe space to do that because of grace, because we know it's covered, because we know that he is good. Even if sometimes we feel like he isn't, we can still name that to him,
right?
Which makes him good.
Yeah, there is. It's interesting. I never thought of that kind of like dissonance, right, between like this open space of confession and relationship with God is only there by grace, right? Because if it was punitive, right, that would be a bad call, right? Yes. We would never want to do that.
No, you'd never open up ever because you don't know what consequences you might get. But this is why I think it says, or I know it says in Hebrews, but this is why I think it says this in Hebrews, where we can go boldly to the throne because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for us, that we know grace covers everything. So we can be radically open with God, even with our doubts and hurts and accusations even against him. He even opens himself up to that. Like that's how deep that grace runs, which I think is really beautiful and I'm really grateful for.
Our next question says, how do we wrestle with the tension of a boundless grace and a commonly held sense of fairness?
Well, I would say it goes even deeper than fairness with, I think we should have a sense of justice. And so I think both those two things, I don't think they erase one another because they clearly come together. And we've talked a little bit about this on the podcast, but they clearly come together in God, that he is both a God of boundless grace, but also justice, and that there is justice for things. And so I think part of the justice bit is that all of our sins get taken away, like everybody's, because of the death of Christ, because of how amazing that work is, that it covers everything. And I think sometimes this is where I was trying to get at in Sunday, is that we do kind of keep tallies of things of who owes us what.
Right.
And there's even that parable of Jesus where he says that these men come to him and he takes one as a day laborer and he starts to working. And then he goes back because there's still more work in the middle of the day and they keep working. And then he goes and gets someone just at the end of the day and they work, and that they all get the same amount of pay.
Right.
And people get upset with that because they're like, but I worked more. He's like, but I promised you this much. And
right.
Giving that, like, that he's allowed to give that out to whomever he wants. And I think sometimes our tendency is, and this is where I think our view of justice can go a little bit sideways, or maybe I can put it this way, that our view of justice gets infected with selfishness when we start looking at other people more than even ourselves. And we start to say, why do they get that? Or why do they deserve that?
Right.
Rather than thinking through, okay, why don't I deserve that, all that I've been given and all the favor I've been shown. So right. I don't think they run necessarily against one another, but but they are kind of tensions to hold, that God in the end will do all that is right and make justice, but that the way he does justice apparently, and the way he brings justice, is in and through grace. And it is this boundless, limitless one. But you still have to respond to it. Like even in the parable itself, he says, like, if you don't, like, you're just going to actually miss out and you'll be tortured by your own unforgiveness, your own bitterness and judgment and hate that you hold in your heart. So I think there is justice in that too.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of that scorekeeping or like keeping a record of rights and wrongs, is it ever okay to not forgive?
I would say no, we always need to forgive. And this is something I would have liked to get into more, but the sermon was already running long as is.
Oh yeah, we forgot to do cut for time.
Anyway, well now
we're glad it came back.
Yeah, it came back. Was really on how forgiveness works and how, I think it was Brian Zahn who once said that the forgiveness creates the future you want to live in. And
I love that.
I do too. I really think that there we always forgive. But even in the sermon, I tried to be really clear with this, although I didn't have time to unpack it. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. And forgiveness does not necessarily also mean like you're not calling authorities, like you're not taking the right steps and boundaries.
It's not consequence free.
No, it's not consequence free.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I can say, yes, you need to forgive every person. Because if you're holding on to unforgiveness, it only hurts and harms you.
Right.
I had somebody who came to me on Sunday and they said that really clicked for the first time and why they're going to offer forgiveness to someone they've been struggling with, because it's just hurting them. So do we need to forgive every single sin that happens? Yes, we do. Do we need to reconcile with every single person? No, we don't. Because there can be trust that needs to be rebuilt. There needs to be awareness. There needs to be a lot before that can happen. But we should never hold on to unforgiveness, because it really will just harm ourselves.
Yeah. That is a great segue into the last question for today, which is, what would you say to somebody who's having a hard time forgiving?
I would say that's a great question. I would say that, first of all, that's a really human experience. Like, it really is. And sometimes it's easy to offer forgiveness to people who are lovely, to people who are caring, to people who maybe unintentionally did something that was harmful,
right?
Like, those people are, it's easy to, but when you have really toxic and difficult people, offering forgiveness is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And so in that way, the way I would like to talk about it is, first of all, it's really human. I would also say that forgiveness is a discipline, meaning you have to almost offer it like consistently. And it'll have to keep coming up because it's really hard to do. So I wouldn't think of forgiveness ever, especially with those deep, deep hurts that people have done, as a one time and done thing. Like, I don't think, hey, you ripped up your scorecard on Sunday, therefore you might never have to struggle with this again. You might need to rip it up like every day or every hour, or every time you think of them, to say, no, like, I'm going to instead pray God's blessing on you. And that's a way of freeing ourselves from the hate of unforgiveness. And so I think those are some of the things I would say, like, praying for the individual is really important. Jesus himself says, pray for your enemies. So yeah, pray for them. Recognize that you're human. Recognize it's not reconciliation, and that it's a long, ongoing work. You might not, won't be kind of a once and done kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's super good. And another good way to describe it too is like that forgiveness is not permission either. There's nothing permissive about forgiveness. So like we've, and you've talked about this before, right? That forgiveness is between us and God. Reconciliation is between one another. Right. And yeah, that there's not, choosing to forgive, is not saying anything was okay either.
No.
Right. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah,
right. You can't forgive without acknowledging what truly happened.
It's only, you're only forgiving because something awful happened.
Yeah.
And I'd also add into that, and this is where it gets like complex, and that we didn't quite have time for all of this, but that forgiveness also never means forgetting. Like, it's not like you forget. We say that there's a phrase, you forgive and you forget. Yeah, that's true in really healthy, loving, ongoing relationships,
right,
where both people take responsibility for things.
Yeah.
You can totally forgive and forget. But in other relationships that aren't that way, like, no, it's not actually healthy to forget sometimes, because you might need to keep boundaries and remember why you need boundaries. It's because so-and-so does this kind of thing and they're just hurtful and harmful or toxic or whatever it might be. So forgiveness isn't forgetting.
Like, forgive and move on, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, right, like you said, in like a loving, committed relationship, right, that means moving on together, right? But it's like forgiving and then you moving on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think too, as we talk about, I mean, we're talking about grace, right? So the one thing I would say is like, forgiveness and that sort of thing can be a long process, and you can give yourself grace for that time. And like, that's, it's okay for that like nobody expects you to just snap awake and be like, oh, yeah, I completely feel different about this situation, yeah, now. And it's totally fine and I can forgive, right? And that in all of these conversations, we talk about this a lot, the idea that discipleship is long, mm-hmm, and that it's as we grow and God is forming us, that work is next steps in the right direction and is like a day by day thing. And forgiveness is something that, yeah, can be something to work on, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like a, because if it's, if it is just something that you can snap your fingers and like, okay, I forgive them, that's great, then it's just a checked box, yeah, right? What we're actually talking about is something that's actually gonna, is transformative,
yeah,
right? And for that transformative work to happen, that also can take a long time depending, yeah, on what the situation is.
Yeah. Eugene Peterson has a great book, titled, I'm pretty sure he stole it from Nietzsche actually, where he has a book title that said A Long Obedience in the Same Direction.
Mm, that's great.
And I think that's like, that's what discipleship is, a long obedience in the same direction. And with forgiveness, I think it can be just a long obedience of continually offering forgiveness, of following Jesus that way and saying, I'm going to do forgiveness. Even on Sunday, when I was doing my sheet, something came up that I thought I had got over like 5 years ago. And I was like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is back, this feeling of unforgiveness. I thought I was done with that. Evidently I wasn't. So I still had to do some work with that. And that's okay too. You're not failing by struggling with unforgiveness. Mm. I think failure is when we choose, yeah, to actually just accept our unforgiveness, that it's always going to be that way.
Yeah.
I think that's really when we falter and fall.
Yeah. That's so good. If the, just before we close up, if the kind of sin ledger, was a good practice for you, if that was helpful, we'll link the file to that in the description of this podcast, if that's something that you want to go back over again, and kind of do again, or as things come up, later for you, that, mm-hmm, if that would be a good practice, our only, kind of stipulation is you can't hold on to it. You have to throw it away.
Yeah. That's that. The other thing I'd say too, oh, yeah, just one other thing is that if this is a particular area of struggle, and it can be for some people, like our Celebrate Recovery place is, yeah, a great space that really what we did on Sunday was in some ways do like a moral inventory, which, right, they do all the time.
Yeah.
And I just think that would be a really good space for anybody who is struggling with this, particularly to find some support and a good next step.
That's great. We'll put the link for that in the description as well. That's a wrap for today's episode. We love having these conversations, but they are even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, topics, I think we said last week, we'll take your situations if you want advice.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Shoot us a text at 905-937-5300. We'd really love to hear from you and hear all about your messy life situations. Or great ones.
Yeah, we'll give or advice good things. On sure, yeah.
Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BTC pod so you never miss an episode. There's going to be some stuff coming out in October around the AGM that you're not going to want to miss out on. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a really simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks for joining us again today, and we'll see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.
Bye.